Rewind, your week in review is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, it's how we get there.
Because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward. Together, that's exactly where we're going to go. God bless.
I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind, the combination of Wisconsin Eye and WisPolitics, summary of this week in the Capitol and in politics. WisEye was there. Sharp elbows with three candidates for three Republicans who want Paul Ryan's job at a forum. Senator Johnson's High Wire Act, he opposes the tariffs of his party's president. He has to advocate on behalf of worried Wisconsin farmers. A recent Arrowhead High School graduate says she found gun worship at her high school, and Scott Walker opens the Wisconsin State Fair, cream puffs and all. Wish I was there.
I think the question for today is, how do we hold this seat so that we don't end up with a Democrat representing us and Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House?
You're going to probably vote for McCarthy because he's donated to your campaign. So, I mean, we can get that out there. He's donated. He's put money in your campaign, so you're not going to vote against him. Basically, he's trying to buy your vote is what I would lay that as.
I'm excited of everybody that's come on and built up the team that I have. 85% of my donations are from in-state. I'd note that the majority of your donors are from out-of-state. I note the majority of your money is from out-of-state. I'm proud of building up a Wisconsin coalition, a local coalition of individuals to be able to defend this seat so that we ultimately have the choice as to who's the next Speaker of the House.
Brian Stile, you talk about your style in Washington. Right now, your treasurer is a Washington insider. Your campaign manager is a lobbyist. And if you're going to bring Wisconsin style to Washington, you've already brought Washington here.
The organizers of the 4-H fair that's going on right now told me they had 400 local, you know, dairy farmers a couple, you know, couple decades ago. Now it's down to 100. So how do you balance that with, like, I want to serve our country, but I want to serve Wisconsin?
I'm just, you know, doing what I need to do in terms of my responsibility, pointing out the harm that is being done and giving every ounce of encouragement for President Trump to accomplish the goal that, quite honestly, the farmers agree with. They want to see free, fair, and reciprocal trade, even though they realize there's some short-term harm being done, but they still support the president's goal.
How safe do you feel as a public school student, and has that feeling changed over time?
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody did something at my school just because the worship of guns is very interesting and very strong, and people can be very mean, students especially, but it's nice seeing, like, the positive change, like, the ladies up here with me, and that, you know, there are good things happening too among the bad. So I'm hoping things are going to change in my school.
What is the best approach to ensuring independent redistricting reform in Wisconsin?
So of all of the panelists here that's sitting here, I'm the only one who's actually been able to make a difference. In Dane County in 2016, I was a co-sponsor of the redistricting maps that we've done. We put a criteria together. We asked that it be fair, that it actually be independent, that it be impartial, that it be accountable, and that it be transparent, and that we have citizens draw the map, because elected officials should not be choosing their constituents.
Best part is, no matter what those numbers are, the most important thing at the fair is tons of fun for families all across the state, and to our neighbors throughout the Midwest who come, we welcome you as well. It's my honor as your governor to officially open the Wisconsin State Fair.
Welcome back, JR. Hey, Tony Eaver, superintendent of public instruction and Democratic candidate for governor. Mm-hmm. This is what his budget will, this is the budget that he'll submit.
Yes.
And it's a budget, if he's governor, he'll propose. So let's go through a couple of the elements, which you reported. Tie revenue limits on school districts to inflation. Hike spending on special education programs by $600 million. I looked it up. That's more than a half-cent increase in our sales tax. Because mm-hmm. one penny now raises $1.1 billion. That's the wonk in me. Increased spending on mental health services by $60 million. Let each district count pre-K as a full student for state aid. Now it's a proportion. So before we hear from Tony, just a short segment. So is he setting the bar that Walker now calls himself the education governor? is he putting Walker in a box saying, can you match this additional spending? By the way, we don't know how much these Evers initiatives would cost and how he'd pay for them. Sorry, I've been dominating it.
Let's remember that this is a proposal, so you said that it would be in his budget if he's governor, but that's if the money is there, so I'm not convinced it's going to be ever come to fruition. But that said, Walker's trying to grab the mantle of the education governor. Tony was the Secretary of Education, essentially.
Yeah.
He wants to grab that back, and he wants to prove his own credentials. Also, I mean, he believes in these things, right?
Yeah.
I don't think he's putting the governor in a box, because the governor's going to keep saying record investment in education, although accounting for inflation, it's not. But he keeps saying about this record amount of money put in education, and Evers needs to find a way to kind of put a little dent in that argument or show a way that Walker is maybe not as pro-education as he wants to seem to be.
Well, okay, now is a good time to listen to about a minute of Tony Evers at an Appleton conference talking about his budget proposals to dramatically raise spending on K-12.
Last week, a broad coalition of advocates, and I was very proud of them, helped announce an amazing tenfold increase in student mental health funding. Additionally, we successfully called on the Attorney General to direct unused school safety funds to student mental health. Earlier this week, I proposed shattering the decades-long freeze on special education funding and with an unprecedented $600 million increase. This long-needed thaw more than doubles funding to restore 60% reimbursement rate that was last seen in the 1980s.
I'm going to stay with this a little bit, JR. So when Tony Evers said, I'm recommending $600 million more on special ed, doesn't that force the governor to say, okay, or Evers can ask, Governor Walker, what's going to be in your budget for special ed? So there's a little bit of leverage being sought here.
Just the way over here, I saw an email from the Evers campaign. They have a new campaign out. I haven't watched it yet, but they're taking a shot at Governor Walker, and it's going to be an education governor. So he is trying, again, to push back on this notion for Governor Walker that he's the education governor. Governor Walker has been trying to find his footing in some ways in several issues in his campaign because he's got some issues. You know, I mean, depending on what poll you believe in, he's upside down job approval-wise, or maybe he's not, or he's down 13 or 7 or up by 4. I mean, he's somewhere in there. But there's obviously an environment that is very challenging right now. He's got to find a way to make a convincing argument of why he's a third term.
Okay, I'm going to stay with that a little bit because Patrick and I didn't get a chance last week to talk about the NBC Marist poll, which you just alluded to. It showed Evers up by 13 points. Big deal?
Each poll that I've seen the last month has got an issue, all right? This week we got an Emerson poll. That had it 48-41 Evers. The issue that I had with that one is half the calls are done by auto dial. The other half are an online sample. Now, online surveys have come a long way from the early days, but still, you know, there are issues there. Plus, they weighted that survey according to the 2016 presidential results. Well, Wisconsin went to a Republican for the presidential race, first time since 1984, in November, with a plurality. So I'm not sure if that's the right weighting for what could be a Democratic environment this fall. So there's that issue. The NBC one seemed to be a little bit generous for the Democratic portion of the sample. It was plus 10 Democrats. And that's a huge, huge advantage.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how good the polls are right now, but it is clear, I've talked to some Democrats, they think the Emerson poll is kind of the right neighborhood, you know, and if you look at the new Foxconn ad Walker has out this week or whatever it was.
We'll get to it.
He's got an issue. Yeah. He's looking to find some footing on some things.
Yeah. Okay, new topic. There is a new interim administrator of the State Ethics Commission. Now, what I find interesting, so you have a lawyer from Florida who's worked for the Florida Senate, which, by the way, is controlled by Republicans. I looked it up. And comes here, and he's interim because he's got to be confirmed by our Senate, doesn't know which party will be running the Senate next session. So, and his term ends next July 1. So it seems to me that Mr. Carlton, who I've not met, was he at this?
No.
He was not at the meeting, is taking a pretty big career risk, right?
Yeah.
You see it that way? Daniel Carlton is the interim administrator at a salary of $101,000 per year, pending state Senate confirmation. Excuse me.
He would, I think, get some moving money as well. It's a big jump in salary from what he's making with the Senate down there, if I saw this spreadsheet right in the Florida Senate's website. He is not tainted by anything with the Government Accountability Board. Now, obviously, Democrats have an issue with even saying there's a problem with that agency, but Republicans can't stand it. He is coming from outside of Wisconsin. It's a fresh start for the administrator, for that commission. That may be an attraction to him. Now, again, your good point. We'll see what happens in November, who's going to be in control. But he basically has a trial period where he can kind of, you know, earn their trust and respect for the next few months and see how it goes from there.
Well, but remember, Senate Republicans fired Mike Haas and Brian Bell, mm-hmm. and now he replaces Brian Bell. And so Senate Democrats, if they take control, might not be impressed with somebody who's been a staffer for a Republican committee in Florida.
Entirely possible. And again, we'll see. It's a trial period. I mean, remember, you know, Brian Bell and Mike Haas were appointed. They were on the job for more than a year before they were rejected. So, I mean, you know, you've got some time to earn some respect and trust.
Okay, new subject. I was surprised. You have the Republican Party running radio ads now regionally that just, JR, you're going to have to explain this to me. The ads in Wausau, La Crosse, Eau Claire target Tony Evers. The ads in Wausau media market criticize Mitchell. The ads in Green Bay and Milwaukee markets criticize Flynn. And Kelder Royce is targeted in Milwaukee. Why run radio ads with the primary still X number of days away?
They're trying to get a message out there. I mean, to be honest, they're trying to get some free media out of this. The Democrats will tell you that
we're giving it to them.
It's a five-figure buy. Well, that five figures is about $10,000 for the Democratic Party. Now, they may add to it. We'll see. But they're trying to put a message out there in the media about these guys to bring back what they see are their deficiencies, right? With Matt Flynn, it's the church abuse scandal, right? Kelder Royce is about, like, can she keep families safe because she wants to cut the prison population dramatically. It's just put stuff out there. You look at the markets, I mean, there seems to be an interesting move or perception that Evers is solidifying that front-runner status. So they need to do well in western Wisconsin, you know, or fight to a draw there, so they're going to hit Evers out there.
Is the state GOP so rich that they can drop even that fairly minor amount?
They've got a lot of money.
They're not hurting for cash. Okay. Segue to that. Now, the Walker campaign is running regional ads featuring businesses that have won Foxconn contracts. How significant?
It is a sign of what we've been talking about for months, that there's a problem politically with this deal. The Marquette polling has consistently shown that people, especially the farther away you are from the Foxconn facility, are skeptical it will pay off in the long run and will benefit the economy. He is trying to drive a message of, look, this is happening in your backyard. There's the Green Bay office that's opening. There's the Eau Claire office that's opening. There are these companies that are, you know, right where you are.
The North American headquarters in Milwaukee. They're going to remodel the NML building.
They're getting this work. Because the problem is that Scott Walker has got an issue with voters that they go, well, why are we spending all this money on this thing? And remember, the big lines in this ad is that he says that Foxconn will only get the money if they create the jobs,
right.
The credits.
Right.
Now, it leaves out, like, the couple hundred million dollars for 94 North South, the money that ratepayers will pay for the high voltage line to the, I mean, these built-in costs are going to happen no matter what.
And what about the diversion of 7 million gallons from Lake Michigan, 4 million of which would be recycled?
But he wants to drive a message of they only get this money if these jobs actually happen, right? And this can create all this big boom for Wisconsin.
Yep.
Foxconn has become a dirty word, which is why the Kimberly-Clark package is somewhat toxic, because they attach Foxconn-like incentives to this bill. And why I say it's toxic, I mean, people want to keep the jobs, so I'm not saying that. But if you're Scott Fitzgerald and you need Republican votes or Democratic votes possibly to pass that bill, once you've added the Foxconn-like terms to it, that word makes Dems go, whoa, I'm not sure about that. Now, Caleb Frostman, new senator from Sturgeon Bay, he said he's open to it. We have Chris Kapinga, senator from Delafield, sorry, said no. That means that 1815, Fitz cannot leave anybody else in his caucus and pass it with just Republican votes.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Do you think 1 week later we're any closer to getting a special session vote by the Senate on the Kimberly-Clark incentives?
I called every Republican Senate office the day after the caucus.
Yeah.
I got one call back from Alberta Darling and a statement from Roth. Everybody else is staying tight-lipped. There's a reason why. They've got to figure out how to get through this thing. Jennifer Schilling's office told me that she's not been contacted by Fitz, and this was, you know, 2 days ago, and I've been contacted by Fitzgerald to try and see if she could help him out with some votes. I don't know if they know how to get there just yet, because there are a lot of layers to this. One, we've done incentive packages before to retain jobs. This is a very lucrative retention package. Now, Foxconn, like what I heard was Foxconn was done to attract a company that could bring a ripple effect, a new industry to Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. That gets you up to 17 cents on the dollar for this tax credit for jobs, yeah. Right? Payroll. They're offering the same level in the assembly bill to a company to keep jobs here. Precedent. What happens when Harley-Davidson, when Johnson Controls, when Oshkosh Truck? Name your iconic Wisconsin company.
Does Quad Graphic want to expand?
When they are looking at layoffs, do they ask the same thing if you pass this bill? There's that layer to it. There is the idea of, well, can't we do something more reasonable or smaller package, or can't WEDIC, with all of its tools, find out something besides this? Another layer, that bill was passed in the Assembly in February to keep two plants open. I'm only talking about keeping one open right now. It's the bigger one of the two, but there's that. There's also this talk, some questions raised because there's a plant in Conway, Arkansas.
Conway, Arkansas, which you guys have been reporting on.
I saw a story late last week out of Arkansas about this plant. They were told in January they were safe. Then Kimberly Carr came back and said, it's 50-50, you're going to stay open. I have not gotten many calls back from the Arkansas folks, but I finally got a statement saying that they're trying to keep that plant open. That plant makes a lot of the same stuff that the Cold Spring plant in the Fox Valley makes.
Right.
So is it one or the other? Like, what's the deal here? The Arkansas officials told me they feel like it's going to close now, and they're trying to keep it open, but they said that Wisconsin has set a new bar with its incentive package that is beyond anything they've ever seen. So that tells you how lucrative that package is. Now, if the Assembly bill is to keep open two plants, now we're talking one, does the Senate want changes? Oh, and by the way, will the Assembly come back and pass it? I mean, there are all these layers to that deal.
And we're talking about 350 jobs in Conway, Arkansas, aren't we? That's a big deal.
Versus 450 in, Fox Valley, Wisconsin.
Okay, but the point is that we've had a week and no announcement that the Senate is coming back in, and the clock is indeed running.
And, and if you're doing that vote, now, more layers of the onion. Lee Vukmir's in a hotly contested GOP Senate primary.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure that she'd rather wait till after the primary's over to have to do this. Roger Roth, he kind of needs this. I mean, I'm not saying if without it he'd lose for sure, but it makes life difficult for Roger if you have job losses in your district. It's just a fact of life. So there are all these layers to this.
Right. Okay. I ordered a graphic on this with the new Mike McCabe ad, because I thought it's a pretty unusual tone. When you run pictures of Democrats who've lost, Mike Dukakis, John Kerry, Hillary Clinton, Al Gore, Tom Barrett, lost run for in his runs for governor, and Mary Burke, don't you run the risk on the part of Mike McCabe of angering X number of Democratic base voters?
Sure. Mike McCabe's trying to make a pitch that he
needs those Democratic base voters.
Well, Mike McCabe is not a Democrat. All right, let's be honest about this. Mike McCabe is running as a Democrat because it's the easiest path, the nomination, run for governor. He's been open about that. He is trying to run a Bernie Sanders-like campaign. Because remember, Bernie Sanders is not a Democrat. He's still an independent, right? He caucuses with the Democrats. Mike McCabe has been asked at multiple forums, will you support the eventual nominee? And he said, I can't promise that because any old Democrat's not good enough, essentially.
Okay.
He's trying to make a case of he is a different kind of candidate that would inspire people and help win.
Well, and he says, dream, aspire, imagine, think about what Wisconsin has the potential to become and how we get there. Let's go back to, we're a closed primary. You and I, if we vote in the August 14th primary, we can only vote in the Dem or the GOP primary.
But anybody can vote in the Democratic primary.
That's so true. So he needs to unearth a whole bunch of populist progressive people. And again,
a couple
they may
challenges
not be,
this message. He's running this on Hulu, which is a streaming service.
Yes.
It is not on broadcast TV. I don't know the Hulu universe in Wisconsin. It's an example of the lack of resources that he has. What's interesting, though, is looking at all these polls that we've talked a little bit, there's an issue with a lot of them I see about how to measure a primary. They seem to kind of reinforce that Evers is the front runner. I keep asking this question and have for a couple weeks. Is there enough time and money left to change the dynamic of that primary with Evers being the front runner? This week we saw that a group called Fervor Wisconsin is doing a new TV ad for Evers.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact size of the buy. I saw bits and pieces on the online records. But if Tony Evers is spending X amount of money, and Fervor Wisconsin is doing Y on top of that, how much do these guys have to spend to overtake him? Because you're talking, in those last couple of polls, nobody's cracking 10%.
Yeah.
What I'm watching for is there, and again, because these polls have some issues, is there a person like a McCabe or a Vinehout or whomever? We keep talking about Evers, Royes, Mitchell, and then Flynn a little bit because on TV. Is there a Vinehut or a McCabe that could all of a sudden surprise us with like 18% of the vote or 20% of the vote because they've got some kind of like built-in support that people aren't really seeing in these polls? I don't know.
Right.
But the perception continues to be that it's Evers to lose at this point because we're now 10 days out. I'm not seeing a big buy from Emily's group or from International Associated Firefighters. Now, I'm seeing independent expenditures, you know, like digital ads, stuff like that for Mela Mitchell, but I totaled up $170,000 between the Firefighters Union, I think at least, and SEIU.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not seeing like that big explosion on TV to tell me that there's something to change the dynamic of the race.
Yeah.
So maybe they can still.
Yeah.
That's what we're watching for. Can something change the name of the race in the last 10 days?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Okay, it was announced last week, but we didn't get a chance to talk about it on Rewind. The federal government has approved our reinsurance plan. Now, that's $200 million, of which the state would come up with $34 million, and the feds would come up with $166 million. It's designed to hold down, according to the governor's office, premiums will drop for those individuals who buy through the Affordable Care Act in 2019. We don't know what's going to happen in 2020.
Mm.
We really don't. So this is a one-year fix?
Possibly, but for Walker, it is. I thought about that, trying to find footing on things. Education has been an issue for him. I mean, he saw polls that showed people were not happy about education spending. He saw the referendums that were passed over and over again to raise property taxes.
Yep.
He knew he had an issue there. Healthcare is a major issue. Look at polls. It's also a major issue for suburban women. And Republicans are struggling with that demographic because of President Trump. This is one thing that addresses, you know, that demographic with something to help address insurance costs.
Right, but we still don't know what's going to happen in 2020 for these people who faced on average a 44% increase in their premiums this year and drop of 3%. So
Drop down, I think it dropped, yeah, a 3% increase this year is the weighted average they said it would be.
Kay.
After this.
But they're still 40% down.
And I think it's like less than 200,000 people in Wisconsin, I want to say.
I think it's roughly
universe.
Before I ask, before I get you to talk about a Mike Ellis anecdote, I want to ask you this. Any chance President Trump's going to endorse in Vukmir versus Nicholson?
I've been wondering that question. I'm not sure. What's interesting about that primary right now is it's become who loves Trump the most, right? So we saw some video this week that Breitbart kind of like put more attention back on about for this thing that TMJ used to do, Insight 16 that Charlie Sykes did.
Right.
Where this is in March of 16, and Lee Vukmir was talking about how, you know, President Trump's offensive to people, you know, and that this is a time when there was a Never Trump movement still, and Wisconsin came the last stand. That April, it was the last stand. Vukmir went from Walker to Rubio to Cruz. Then she backed Trump in the end. She did a Trump for Women radio ad that ran that fall.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Nicholson, he gave money to Rubio. Now he's talking about how great President Trump is. It's interesting in Wisconsin that I've been asking this question. In that 2016 primary, he didn't do well. In fact, he did fairly poorly. Will people remember that and say, okay, well, I was there too,
yeah,
back in April of 2016? Or will they be like now where the Marquette poll had 88% of Republicans somewhere in that neck of the woods who back Trump?
Yeah, they do. They approve of his job performance.
And you've seen nationally that he's become like almost the standard in primaries. If you're not embracing Trump, you're in trouble. Mark Sanford in South Carolina, for example, lost. People are vying for that kiss, that golden seal from President Trump, right? You know, he's kiss of approval.
Yeah.
How will that play out in Wisconsin in 10 days? Do people say, well, Leah wasn't Trump enough? Or do they go, well, Nicholson was a Democrat? And I really don't know.
So given our unpredictable president, he could ride in out of the sun and endorse one of these candidates. But in Nicholson, he'd be endorsing somebody who led young Democrats nationally.
And now talks about, you know, how great the president. I mean, I really don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I've learned one thing in the last 3 years now. I will never predict what President Trump is going to do.
Absolutely. Just a reminder, the sales tax holiday continues through Sunday. Your sales tax will not be charged on clothing under $75, computers under $750, and different school supplies. That ends Sunday. I want to ask you about one more thing before the Ellis anecdote. Judge Crabb withdrew from the redistricting lawsuit. She didn't give a reason.
No.
But she had been involved up to and over beyond her eyes in this case. I was kind of surprised by that. Were you?
I don't know why. I won't predict what President Trump is going to do. I hate predicting what courts and judges will do because they have their reasonings.
But the Supreme Court vacated the her decision and the Court of Appeals decision. Okay, she's just
also
off the
been
case.
On the federal court for how many decades now? Since the early 1970s?
30 plus, maybe.
Appointed by Carter,
40,
maybe?
Yeah. I don't know if it was Carter.
I can't remember exactly what it was. But anyway, okay. You know, I never know what's going on with that kind of stuff.
Okay. Now, Mike Ellis will be honored on Tuesday. Patrick Marley and I exchange Ellis stories. Give us an Ellis story.
The thing that is missing with Mike Ellis not in the building anymore is the person who loves the art of the deal. I mean, politics has become how do I run you over and how do I make you bend to my will? I mean, look at the last couple of budgets, right? We had these standoffs at the very end that dragged it on, like this past one until September. Well, before that one until July. You know, we just have this. Mike Ellis loved to strike a deal. And I would walk in his office sometimes to ask him, you know, just to kind of shoot the breeze. And I'd walk in during budget negotiations, and there would be like four or five Republican senators in his office and Mike behind his desk with a certain kind of grin on his face.
Holding court.
Yeah. But he would, with these senators, sometimes they didn't like certain things, but he provided them protection. So, okay, I'll take care of this. You know, I'll take the arrows.
Right.
So he didn't mind taking the shots from school choice folks or from whomever, because he was a big advocate of public education. He tolerated school choice in some ways. So when
he taught at St. Mary's before he joined the Neenah City Council.
I remember one budget, you know, he kind of struck a deal on expansion, but also got more money for public schools.
Yeah.
They don't have that kind of person anymore who wants to find a way, right? It's more about like, I did this, now you do what I did. And he would always, you know, being a teacher, he had a blackboard in his office. And you could get caught in a lecture for
you
God knows how long.
You and I were often in the front row at different times, getting that lecture.
And Mike, you know, he's colorful. I will say he stretched the truth with me a few times.
Oh, yes. But you're being kind.
But he had a tell. You could tell when Mike Ellis was giving you a line. And he enjoyed the give and take. I mean, it's a little lost. The building's lost something like that inside the
right.
Capitol.
He will be honored at a memoriam next Tuesday in Neenah. Next week. You and Jesse Opoyan are going to be previewing some of the key primary races. I'm going to be spoiling grandchildren. Yeah, I will. Also, we now are up to about 100 candidate interviews at wisi.org. Go there before you vote in the primary. Just a suggestion. I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for August 3.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. Sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. It's how we get there.